just as moderator, if I may take the license for the first question. In the present cultural moment that we all find ourselves in as Lutheran Christians who are blessed to live in the United States, it seems to me that we must all honestly acknowledge the moral revolution in public sentiment in our own time. It's becoming increasingly libertine in its sensibility and consequently more affirming of many of those things that we as Lutheran Christians believe to be disorder. And so in the present state of affairs, in the real world, applying all the things that you have just shared with us and taught us, we have a potential Supreme Court case where the government may sue the Little Sisters of the Poor, a ministry of Catholic nuns. A lot of us never thought we would live long enough to see the government bringing a lawsuit against 75 nuns over the issue of conscience. We may have another homosexual marriage case in the Supreme Court in this term. For those of us who are joining today in the states of South Carolina and Kansas, President Harrison, just yesterday we had major rulings on same-sex marriage. What I'm saying is that in this moral revolution we're living in, a lot of us are asking, how do we actually apply in 21st century America the principles, you know, from the Bible as articulated and systematized by the great Martin Luther? In other words, how do we take everything that you have just shared with us and taught us? How do we apply that, practically speaking, as men and women in the church, to this bevy of issues that are truly challenging us, seemingly every day in the public square?
I think withdrawal would be completely wrong. Be akin to the Anabaptist approach. We must participate. We must participate intensely. Governments throughout the ages, wherever Christians have dealt with it, have never been, as it were, Christian. They've never, as it were, sort of acted with complete moral integrity. There's always a struggle with conscience, and that's understood because governments work with compulsion, with political majorities, minorities, force, sometimes tyranny, and those kind of things. We can't step back. We must participate. But now it's clear. What is so damaging about the left today is that as a result of evolutionism and a number of other things, there is no belief in natural law. That is, if we are the result of chance, then all of human life, all of its mores are simply constructs thought up by certain people at certain times. And those constructs may be changed according to the whim or viewpoint of people at any given time. So that is something that we as Christians, both on the basis of natural law and reason, we reject it on the clear basis of the scriptures, which also teach natural law. So we must continue to be engaged. Our engagement will change now. It is a defensive game. And I like to say we're establishing this Washington office for an aggressive defense. That is, we will aggressively defend our First Amendment constitutional right to the free exercise of religion. That's what we must do.
A number of people have said sort of cleverly in the public square that Christians for most of the history of the United States, that is to say, in the living memory of probably most of the people on this webinar, that although it wasn't articulated as such, that, you know, when you were a Christian living in America, you were on the proverbial home team. And given the shifts in the culture, this is certainly not original with me, but a number of people said increasingly we're no longer the home team, we're the away team. Again, how to apply to the two kingdoms? Are we to think of ourselves as sort of cultural, you know, exiles in our own country?
Well, there is, in these last times, it is reminiscent of protection there on turning ourselves as foreigners, sojourners in life. We are indeed. The framers of the Constitution had a marvelous and ambiguous view consonant with many aspects of the Lutheran Two Kingdoms. They had a view that the church, and at their time, of course, they accepted a amount of pluralism. There was religious freedom. The great majority were Christians, of course. But they realized, as reasonable leaders, even Jefferson was quite clear on this, that not only did natural law exist, but also that the church was the most helpful agent for society. Washington famously said, it takes a moral people to operate under our form of government. The church performs, the church provides moral people. I think a great failure of mostly Protestantism, but all Christians in America, basically, and I would say mainline, old-line Protestantism failed because of historical criticism, especially, which took away the authority of the scriptures, which undermined moral authority, etc. So, yes, we will feel like strangers increasingly, and so it goes. Luther said that the gospel comes and waters a place, and then for thanklessness it passes away. And we see in our time the gospel passing from America. The Lord is allowing it to move to the South. Now, this is where he has put us. There are many of us who confess the faith here, and many more will confess because of the gospel and believe. We will not give up. But we are strangers here. Nevertheless, roll up your sleeves and go to work.
Carol from San Jose sent a note to President Harrison, and I think it's a wonderful note. She says, what encouragement does Scripture offer for this time? I'm so glad that she reminds us that despair and discouragement is a sin because it negates hope. And I love this wonderfully hopeful question. What encouragement does Scripture offer for this time?
I would just encourage you to grab your book of Romans, look at chapter 1 and 2, and you see that in the Roman Empire, things were hardly different. And then I would look at chapter 3, and I would claim your part, our part, in the problem. We are sinners all of us. Romans chapter 4 and offers the 3 and 4 offers the remedy for our sin. Christ is for us. The eternal game is done. The deed is done. The once-for-all act happened 8,000 miles away, 2,000 years ago. It's a done deal for us. Then go to chapter 5. Perseverance in the midst of challenges produces hope. Chapter 5 is full of hope. Grab hold of your baptism in chapter 6. We're buried with Christ. And then know that your struggles with conscience and challenges of falling short, and that will all happen in spades because of our world today. And how do we interact with it? Chapter 7, the good that I would, I do not. So who shall rescue me from this body of death? Thanks be to God. And then I'd go to chapter 8 for the coup de grace. All things work together for good. Don't doubt it.